with Washington Post opinion writer Christine Emba. Christine, glad to have you part of the show today.
Thanks for inviting me on.
So all things political are what you cover, and that covers a lot of territory. I guess we should start at the top with President Trump. Very ticked off this morning about somebody leaking his briefing materials prior to his conversation with Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, that's right. Yesterday, the Post revealed that in his first conversation with Vladimir Putin after the Russian election on Sunday, Trump's first statement basically was to congratulate him on winning the election.
Just exactly what he wasn't supposed to do, right?
Exactly. Our reporters were told by sources in the White House, in fact, that his briefing notes for this conversation, presidents usually get briefing notes before they speak to other states, had in all caps, "Do not congratulate," as the heading of one of his sections. And obviously he did not take that into account.
And apparently it's sort of a close-knit group of people who have access to this information. And so it sounds like it might be somebody fairly close to the administration and to the president that actually blew the whistle on him in this regard.
Right. That is one of the things that seems to be making the White House quite angry and nervous this morning. I mean, to be able to see briefing notes for a private conversation.
It's scary.
The president and, a world leader, it has to be someone with a top secret security clearance, someone very close to the president in his inner circle. And knowing that someone that close to the president could only be, a few people is leaking is obviously alarming.
And many Republicans, go ahead.
Oh, well, it's also interesting to think about the reasons that someone might do this, too. It could be that they are distrustful of the president's relationship with Russia and want to get that out to a news source, or that they disapprove of this relationship with Putin and want to make that known publicly without outing themselves. There are a lot of reasons someone might leak, and none of them are flattering to the president.
And it sounds like the Republicans, there is more and more grumbling going on in the Republican camp, certainly about Trump and his relationship with Vladimir Putin. And I guess what he didn't say during the course of that conversation, even a bigger issue than what he did say.
Absolutely. So John McCain was one of the first and loudest critics when he heard about this conversation, saying that the leader of the free world doesn't go and congratulate someone on what were obviously sort of not free elections. But there were questions about why the president didn't say anything about the nerve agent poisonings that happened in Britain. Most of our NATO allies have forcefully condemned Russia for what's assumed to be their part in those, and the U.S., the president at least, has not. Again, he didn't seem to say anything. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the press secretary, said that there was not any discussion about whether Russia's elections were in fact free or fair. Apparently, the U.S. is no longer in the business of promoting free and fair elections. We just let other countries do sort of what they want to do and don't comment, which goes against their actions in the past. There's a lot there. Again, not very much discussion of election meddling,
right,
which is another topic that's hugely in the news this week. So it's unclear.
I think of all the jobs I would least likely to have in America would be Sarah Huckabee Sanders' job. I mean, come on. That's got to be rough duty.
It depends on how much you like a challenge, maybe, because she has to get really creative.
Yeah. She's good, though. But, I mean, in terms of being a bulldog for the president, which the press secretary often has to be, she's good at that.
She is. She really is. She's doing what she can with what little she's given. And she gives us, the press, very little as well, which is exactly what she's supposed to be doing.
Well, of course, here in California, Christine, we are, it seems like the president is at war with our state ever more so. Just yesterday, the roundtable of security advisors talking about ways to hold sanctuary cities and states accountable for their positions. And we just get the feeling that he really doesn't like us very much.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but that feeling might be accurate. It's interesting. There's been sort of this line of dialogue coming from the Republican Party in the White House that California is sort of a rogue state, almost anti-American in its embrace of immigration, you know, sanctuary cities, that sort of thing. The roundtable yesterday was quite interesting in that it was almost everybody was saying the same thing, sort of coming out as heavily as they can against sanctuary cities, remarking on the crimes of aliens. That was the term that was the preferred term used. And really just sort of reaching at the highest pitch possible and sort of denouncing any positive idea of immigration for seemingly the benefit of the president. It was kind of a strange theme.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely feels like sort of a pileup. Speaking of that, there are apparently more women coming out saying they had affairs with the president. We had Stormy Daniels and then McDougal and now another reality star. I don't know. I'm a little bit jaded, I suppose, but it's hard for me to imagine any of this making an impression on the Trump administration or really suffering any fallout from any of this. Do you agree?
It's hard to say. I mean, I think a pileup is the perfect description. As you said, there's Stormy Daniels, there's Karen McDougal, there's Summer Zervos. What will be interesting to follow, I think, is not exactly what happens to the administration. I think you're right that they're just sort of trying to push this to the side as much as they can. But what it does to his base of support. So I think you see some through lines with all of these. His alleged affairs with Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal happened kind of right after the birth of his son in 2006 and 2007. His alleged groping and unwanted kissing of Summer Zervos sort of echoes the allegations that happened in the campaign.
Yeah.
And I wonder if you will see a drop-off of support from women. Trump's base is pretty strong, but it was kind of white, middle-class women who sort of pushed him over the edge in the elections. And I wonder if this particular kind of allegation may make that level of support drop off a little. And we have seen his approval ratings kind of tanking recently.
Yeah.
And this could be another major blow.
Well, it's hard. Again, I feel a little jaded about this particular part of the conversation, but it will be interesting. And of course, it was, you know, just yesterday where the president was saying, listen, Republicans, not to worry in November. Everything's going to be good. Republicans are going to win across the board in November. And I think the signs show otherwise so far.
Yeah, yeah, it's been interesting. I mean, just last week was the election in Pennsylvania's District 18 where Connor Lamb, a Democrat, beat out the Republican candidate in a quite red,
very red
area. Yeah, that Trump won by a number of points in the election, and it did come as a surprise to Republicans, and they immediately began to downplay it, obviously saying that really Connor Lamb was just. Actually, he ran as a Trump-like candidate. He ran almost as a Republican, except, of course, he didn't. He ran as a Democrat, and
yeah.
He'll probably be voting with Democrats. So in a district that was like 20 points, I believe, for Trump, for him to go to a Democrat shows that nothing is as safe as it might appear.
Yeah. And let's talk about the First Lady for a minute, Christine. Melania Trump, and who knows what it's like across the dinner table in the White House. Oh, my God. No, thank you, with all of these alleged affairs going on. But she yesterday got together with a group of other people to talk about cyberbullying, which has been one of her platforms since Trump took office. And she was straight up and straight out loud when she got to that meeting saying, listen, I know a lot of people are not taking me seriously about this issue, obviously because of her husband and what he does online. Mm-hmm. But she's meeting that straight up, and I'm wondering if you think that approach might make a difference in terms of how seriously the First Lady is taken on this issue.
You know, I'm not sure that it will, honestly. One of the things that's been most notable about this First Lady, Melania Trump, is her absence from the public stage. You know, she said that cyberbullying is her topic. She did have this conference yesterday, but not much has been heard from her before or, you know, after this conference. It's unclear what what effect she can even have. Like, what is she going to do?
Yeah.
You know, she's not going to be able to necessarily change the policies of these social media companies, which are struggling enough already. And she certainly hasn't been able to rein in her husband. So it kind of seems like hollow talk coming from her. Her forthrightness may be notable in that it sort of it begins to sound like she might be slightly breaking from the party line, but that doesn't really mean anything in the long run.
Yeah, we're big believers in action, that is for sure. Christine, thanks so much for being with us this morning. Enjoyed the conversation. Look forward to the next one.
Thank you. Have a good day.
That is Christine Enba. She is an opinion writer for The Washington Post.